One or two visitors this morning, if you've got your service bulletin there, you can follow along the sermon notes at the back of the sheet. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayer and requests. In a similar way to the Thessalonians, he encourages them in prayer as well by saying, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray on all occasions. Pray continually. How do we do this? What is Paul getting at? I think there's at least two ways of doing what Paul had in mind. The first one is our fill-in A, keep a running conversation with God. I put that in there for Ellen. Some folk who've been on the prayer course that we just finished last week said this is how they pray. As things come into their mind day by day, they just pray them before God. And as Paul said in that verse we just looked at, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And say, that's what I do. As God the Spirit puts something in my mind, I just pray about it there and then. Person, situation, I just pray about it. All kinds of prayers. Adoration, thanksgiving, intercession, praying for ourselves. And as the need arises, they just keep this conversation going with God. And if that's what you do, and it's working for you, then this sermon is finished. Have a nap. And somewhere during that nap, pray for the rest of us who will be avidly listening. But some folk pray like that. Some folk think that's how I pray continually through the day. It works for me, and it's great to hear that. You might say, well, that's not me. And I hope there's some not me's here this morning, because I'm suggesting a second way. That's fill-in B, schedule prayer times throughout the day. If you find that you don't normally or usually just hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and you have this conversation throughout the day, this is just as good a way. Schedule prayer times throughout the day. Now, this is not a new thing. You'll find it in the Old Testament. You'll find it throughout the New Testament. Remember Daniel. Daniel prayed, it says, three times a day. He opened his window, knelt down, prayed three times a day. The psalmist in Psalm 119 says, seven times a day I will praise you, God, for your righteousness. So he did seven. Now, way back in the time of the Romans, each Roman fortification, they had a bell tower. And what the Romans did, and really what the Romans had left with us, is that they rang a bell at different times during the day. They always did that. 6 a.m. start, that was the start of the day. Bell rang, you should be at work. 6 o'clock. That's when you start. It rang again at 9 a.m. That was the third hour. Then it rang again at noon. Sixth hour. Now, the good thing is, if you were a Roman, was you got an extended lunch. You got a lunch for about 3 hours. 3 hour lunch. Bell would ring again, 3 p.m., back to work. And then the last time the bell rang was around about 6 o'clock or half past 6. That was the end of your day. You could go home. Romans did this wherever they want. They went, fortification, built a bell tower, got somebody to ring the bell at these times. Now, the Jews and the Christians noticed this. And they said, let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's use these bells. And that's what they did. They used these bells as time for prayer. And if you've got any association or are a member of the Catholic Church, the Liturgy of Hours is still used in that church today, and it follows these Roman bells. And I never knew that till I read that a few weeks ago. That's how it started. They followed the Roman bells. And then the monasteries, they started to do bell towers, and they took over, and they rang their own bell. Now this morning I want to suggest a simple way of doing that, using the Lord's Prayer as our model. And I'm going to suggest that we pray at specific times during the day, praying for specific things. Now, I want to say right at the beginning, they don't have to be long prayers. It's just keeping touch with God throughout the day. Here's the first one. Before you get out of bed, and there's a wee clock on your notice there, don't let your neighbor see what time you get up. Draw your time in there. And your first fill-in this morning is number one, get up with gratitude. That's what you want to do. You know, get up with gratitude. Start the day with thanksgiving. You know, somebody asked Frances if she gets up grumpy in the morning. She replied, no, I'll let him sleep a bit longer. The old ones are the best ones, eh? But doctors are now saying that starting the day with a sense of gratitude is the best mental attitude you can have throughout the day. And that's where we want to start. Get up with gratitude. Focus on the goodness of God, our Father in heaven. That's where we start. Before you get out of bed, recognize who God is. He's a good, good Father. We've seen his Abba Father. Start your day telling God the things you are grateful for. Before you get up, before you go hit that snooze button, before you go back to sleep again, think of one or two of the things that you are grateful for, and you should be able to do hundreds. You know, we're grateful there's no war. I'm grateful for my warm duvet. I'm grateful for my coffee machine. And we can just tell God what we are grateful for. And we just spend that time before we get up. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. And that's what we're doing. We're saying to God, Father, you're doing great stuff. We just love your provision. We want to praise you first thing in the morning. Fill-in number two, bless God's name at breakfast. Put your time in there. Bless God's name at breakfast. Hallowed or holy is your name. That's what we're doing. The psalmist says, every day I will praise you and extol or bless your name forever and ever. What's God's name? God's name is really his character. There's over 100 names in the Bible for God, and each of these names reveal a little bit as to what God is like. Abba Father. We've had that. You know, remember how uncomfortable you were when we had the Lord's Prayer and we said, Dad in heaven? That's what God is like. He's like a loving Father. El Shaddai, another name for God. God Almighty, God is mighty. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Another name for God. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Jehovah Tsekenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And it goes on and on and on as we learn some of the names of God. We can bless God for who he is. And sort of knowing some of these names gets us into that prayer quite easy. Blessing God's name helps us to remember what God is like. Now, why is that important? Why is it important to remember what God is like? Why is it important to know some of these strange names about God? Well, the psalmist says this, those who know your name trust in you. You've never forsaken those who seek you. The more knowledge we have of God, the more we will trust in God. So that's what we're doing over our breakfast, just a couple of minutes saying, this is who you are, God. I'm aligning myself with who you are. I'm remembering who you are. That's our second thing. Because what's going to happen soon is you're going to hit the challenges of your day, whatever is there. You know, if you've got a challenge in the day ahead, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. And you remember that when you walk into your challenge. If you've got a need, Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. He's going to look after that. Things getting out of control, El Shaddai, God Almighty, God knows. God's powerful. He can help us with that. So over your cornflakes, remind yourself at the start of the day who God is. Because very quickly then your day starts going and you don't know how long it is before you get swamped with stuff. How long do folk take to get swamped with stuff? Anyone swamped within the first hour of work? Yeah. And then you just get more and more swamped, you get more and all this stuff comes in and you're just about forgetting what you've done already. And then we see this one, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness and all those things will be given to you as well. Which is fill in number three. I've missed number three. Back to number three. At mid-morning, remember what matters most. That's what that is. We remember what matters most. Because before we get swamped, we've got to say, let's get our mindset back in where God is. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And we pause and we refocus on what matters most. What's the big picture? We only need 60 seconds. It's like a mini coffee break. To remind ourselves, your kingdom come, your will be done. God, we want your agenda. Before we get swamped at work, before things overwhelm us, your will be done. Because remember, God's got a plan for you at your work. The work you're at just now is no mistake. God's put you there, and you're there witnessing for him. Your will be done in my work. Your will be done in my play. Your will be done if you're looking after kids. Whatever it is, your will be done. And folk will notice. And that's what I had. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because the thing about that verse is when we seek the kingdom of God first, it says all those other things will be given to you. So all the things that are swamping you at work, God will help you through those. That's what he's saying. You seek my kingdom first, then it will get a lot easier because I will realign your life. And the things that are swamping you will not be as difficult as they might have been. Fill in number four, we get to lunch. Nobody skips lunch. Anyone skip lunch? No. Yeah? You can pray more. Pray more if you skip lunch. It's bad for you. Don't skip lunch. Because number four is at lunchtime, we've got to list our needs. Talk to God about the things that you need. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, we've looked at this in the Lord's Prayer before. Bread is not just bread. I don't know anyone who's just praying for bread. Anyone be satisfied if you're praying for your needs and you're saying to God, give us this day our daily bread. Before we know it, wham, a big loaf falls in our laps. Now, miraculous it might be, that would not do me. To start with, I need a bit of cheese and something else, but a loaf is just not enough. But it's more than a loaf. Give us this day our daily bread. It's really the needs we need, the things that we are needing. And we're very reluctant sometimes to ask God, because it's more than food. And we're really saying at lunchtime, God, this is what I'm looking for today. This is what I need today. Now, it might be money. Anyone ever prayed for money? Yeah, you've obviously got too much. I'll have it. Pray for money. Might be peace. Pray for peace. It might be some kind of reconciliation in a relationship. It might be a relationship. God, I want a husband. I'm not going to ask. Anyone want a husband? Anyone want a wife? We'll put you together. But all this comes under that title, give us this day our daily bread. It's saying at lunchtime, pray for the things you need. Now, you might have to spare 5 minutes for that. 5 minutes at lunch. 10 minutes for those who don't eat lunch. But the second thing we do at lunchtime, 4A, we ask for what other people need. Petition is when we ask for our own needs. Intercession is when we ask for the needs of other people. And God normally puts needs of other people on our hearts. Different people get different needs. It says in 1 Samuel, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Anyone think that's commit that sin? We commit that sin all the time. How many people do we say, oh, I'll pray for you? I want folk to stop saying to people, I'll pray for you. We're going to stop it in this church. as from now. Stop praying for people. Just do it there and then. You know when you say to folk, I'll pray for you about that. Don't say that. Pray for it there and then. I remember I had an embarrassing situation a wee while ago. It's when Frances was pregnant with Peter. So that wasn't yesterday. And I remember telling one of my friends, oh, I says, Frances is nearly having a baby. Oh, we're all excited. And he says, I'm going to pray for that baby. And we were at one, this huge big conference. There was hundreds of folk there and they were clearing up at the end of it. And I was speaking to this guy. And I forgot what he was like. He was one of these prayer folk. And he did. We're going to pray for your baby now. You know, I'm glad Frances wasn't there. He would have laid hands on her bump. I know he would have done. But he did. I remember being quite embarrassed about it. You know, he says, we're praying for this baby. We're praying God's blessing on this baby. And he was one of the first folk I've ever seen do that. Because he said, I never say to folk now, I will pray for you. I do it there and then, because I will forget. And I'm in that boat now as well. You know. So if you tell me something, and I say to you, I will pray for you, don't let me stop there. Say, John, pray for me now. So that's what we do. Over lunch, we pray for the things that we are looking for, which is petition, and we pray for the things that other folk are looking for, that's intercession. And then the day's getting on. You know, day's getting on, it's getting sort of near the end. Here's a question. How long does it take you to get out of sorts with people at work? I know some folk, it's the first 5 minutes. But I'm hoping it's after lunch. Because number five says, ask for forgiveness in the afternoon. This is what we're doing. We pray for folk at lunchtime. It doesn't take you long, you know, before down the tubes. Afternoon, you've had that big lunch, you know, you're feeling a bit sluggish. And that's the time to ask for forgiveness for the things you've said already at work or wherever you are, the things you've done, the things you haven't done. And we just take a wee minute out and we say to God, here's one or two things I've got to get sorted out, you know. Because the good thing about that is some of the folk that you've got to ask for forgiveness for, they're still there. Do it before you go home. So you ask for forgiveness in the afternoon. There's a 5A in there as well, next one. I admit my sins and forgive those who have frustrated me. Anyone frustrate you? No, you're right, you're right. I can feel the angst coming from this corner. You know, I can feel it. In fact, I tell you what, I'm going to pray for you. In fact, we'll pray for you now. We'll pray for you and your colleague. Amen. You want to bring her across? That happens. We get frustrated. We get frustrated with folk at work. And what we can do in that mid-break before we leave work or halfway through is say, we admit my sins and we forgive those who have frustrated us. Because we don't want to take that home. Day's marching on. You've had lunch. You've had your coffee break in the afternoon. You got rid of all that angst. Guess what time it is now? Going home. Going home time. Yes! Now, I don't know how some of you go home. Anyone go home, you know, full of energy, full of buzz, saying, yes, what a day I've had at work. Ho-ho, let me at the painting or whatever it is. Most of us don't. Most of us are absolutely knacked when it comes home. And we're tired. And we just want a break and we just want our feet up. That's what we want. Before you pass over the threshold of your house, 10-second prayer. Number six, ask God to help me make wise decisions. That's number six. Because for some of us, before we even go through the door, we've got to leave our work at the door. I read about one guy who, what he did was, he had some kind of plant pot just at his door. And symbolically, what he used to do was, he'd sort of wipe his feet on the mat because his wife didn't like the carpet getting dirty. And then he put his work in the plant pot. He says, all those things I never got done at work today, he says, I'm putting them in the plant pot and I can pick them up tomorrow morning when I leave. But he says, I'm not taking them in the house. And how many of us do that? A lot of us do that. Take the stuff in the house. Because we've got to watch that time. That time when we're... I think that's a danger time. I think, you know, especially those who haven't had lunch, your blood sugar is right down, really. You know, you'd eat a horse. But you've got to watch you don't eat your spouse before you eat a horse. Because you're so angry. And what we've got to watch there is I think that's a dangerous time because we're exhausted, we're tired, and we've got to ask God to help us make these wise decisions. Because you sort of get home and you say, well, you know, what kind of idea have you had? And you say, oh, I'm absolutely exhausted. You know, I want you to do this. You want me to do what? Do you know the kind of day I've had? What have you been doing all day? What have I been doing all day? I'll tell you what I've been doing all day. Woof! You know, and you're hardly out the hole. You're just in the door. World War III. So what we do is just for 30 seconds, you just sort of say, God, I'm leaving my work here in this plant pot. I want you to help me make wise decisions, whatever's going to happen. You know? And then if your wife has been out working and she comes back, I've sort of learned this. And I'm passing this on free. Free. I'm not charging for this, but it's taken me nearly 30 odd years to learn that. Didn't learn it at the beginning. You know when your wife comes back and she's full of angst from the work and she tells you all about it and everything? You want to know what us men do? We want to fix it. We do. What a time I've had it day at work today with my boss. It's been absolutely terrible. He made me work an extra hour or something and I didn't get a lunch break and everything. Now men, don't jump in. We jump in. He did what? Get the union on. I mean, really, get up there and sort. In fact, I'll come up tomorrow. I'll sort that guy out and tell. They don't want that. They don't want that. Give them a cuddle. Give them a cuddle. Do not sort their day out. They can sort their own day out. And that happens 5 minutes in the door. You know? So one of your wise decisions is, especially those of us who are engineers, don't try to fix it. Don't try to fix it. Can I make you a coffee, darling? Oh, you don't drink coffee. Hot chocolate. Then you've had tea. Then you've watched a good Murder on the Box or something. There's a lot of good murder stuff on just now. We're recording it. Oh, it's great. And the last one, number seven. Last one, number seven. I end my day with an encouraging truth. Now, this is either before you go to bed or when you go to bed. I cannot do it when I go to bed. I mean, sometimes I have trouble sleeping. It takes me nearly 35 seconds some nights to get to sleep. So I cannot pray in bed. I cannot read in bed. I can just sleep in bed. So I've got to do it before I go to bed. End your day with an encouraging truth. And that's where the benediction in the Lord's Prayer comes. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You might say, well, what are you doing there? What we're doing is we're reminding ourselves that God is in control. Irrespective of what kind of day you've had. Irrespective of what your situation is. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we've got to align ourselves with this kind of thinking again. God is in control. This is not the end of the story. God's still bringing out his purposes. And I don't want to spoil the Bible for you. But if you get to the end, if you ever manage to get to that book of Revelation, God wins. God wins at the end. It's maybe a spoiler for some of you, but he does. That's the spoiler. God wins at the end. And that's why at the end of our day, we've got to concentrate on something like, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You're going to win. And I'm in your kingdom and I'm part of your family and I'm going to win. And you know what kind of day I've had? And you know how I've forgotten about the first six of them? I'm going to do the last one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Corrie ten Boom said this. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you will be at rest. And for those of us who know what kind of life that woman had, that's wisdom from her. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. And that's what you want to do at the end of the day. You want to know why? Because the next day you're going to wake up and you're going to start again. Now, end the day positively, wake up positively. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I've not got time for this. You're a minister, one day a week. I've got a real job. I've not got time. I've not got time to do that. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Because it won't take long. That's the first thing I'm saying. It won't take long. And it's really just getting into a habit. And I don't think you've got to spend more than 5 minutes on any of those. This is not disrupting your quiet time or any other devotional time you've got. It's just keeping in with God throughout the day. And I don't believe we can't find a couple of minutes, five times, and maybe 5 or 10 minutes once or twice. And I think the difference it will make is it will mean that our relationship with God and we will hear the Holy Spirit better. And what the Holy Spirit will do is he'll put more concerns and he'll say, you're now working with God. I can work with you now because you're opening yourself to me. And we all need that. Now, let me let you in a wee secret. This is new for me. I've never done this. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to give it a go. I've come across this and I liked it. And I thought, I'm going to give that a go. Because I'm like the rest of you. You get stuck in at work and, you know, you do important things like presbytery stuff and all the kind of nonsense we get involved in and we get distracted. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this. So your job is to say, how are you doing, John? And if you're brave enough to try this, tell me how you're getting on. Because I know I'll need encouragement. You know how long it takes to get into a new habit or do something new? Any idea? How many days? 3 weeks? No, more than 3 weeks. More than 21? 35. Nearly there. 40. Say it takes about 40 days. A month and a bit. To get into that. So, I've got to stick at this for 40 days until it gets ingrained. So, your job is, when's 40 days? That must be just past Christmas, is it? How many days we got? What are we at now? Before Christmas? Oh, good. I'll get it done for Christmas. Okay? So, if you're brave enough, have a go. If you're not brave enough, keep me on the straight and narrow. Amen.